Rejoice in the Lord always. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. St. Paul is in prison somewhere, chained to a soldier, night and day. But his first European converts, the Catholics at Philippi in Greece, don't forget him. They take up a generous collection, even though it's Greece, their economy is a mess. And they send some food along, too. The Cucina clerical springs into apostolic existence. So there he is, the great apostle to the Gentiles, writing today's epistle, which is a PS, or actually sort of a PPS, at the end of the letter itself, contentedly munching on some chicken, and saying those words that we hear again and again sung, this rejoice, this Rose Sunday. But he, and the church too, puts the emphasis upon the adverb that comes at the end of the phrase, always. Gaudete in Domino semper. They say, you can hear it. I was listening for it during the prayers at the foot of the altar in the ancient Gregorian melody for today's introit that sort of builds up to semper. And I rejoice always on Sunday in our choir and on weekdays in our school choir and in the men of our schola, who make these ancient chants, which are our proud heritage as Catholics, come alive each day in the High Mass. And I ask your prayers for one of the devoted members of our schola and choir, who is a prisoner today to paralysis after his stroke. But rejoice, no sad faces, we're Christians, and rejoice in the Lord. He's the reason for our happiness. But rejoice always, semper, most of all. One of the ways people manifest their joy at this season is also the exact means to make self and others happy. At the holidays, but really any day, by giving, by generosity. Now, we should give without expecting anything back. Alas, the day of the thank you note is pretty much over. But if you have no expectations, you can avoid recriminations and literally ruining the mood, because when you give, you do get something back, and it comes right away. It makes you feel better spiritually, because you have, little you, in some little way, imitated the good great God who is all generosity in giving us his well-beloved Son. You have imitated our Blessed Lady and the saints who to this very day and hour shower their generosity upon you by answering how many of your prayers for how many different needs and occasions. There's another kickback that comes too, more of a physiological one, or perhaps on an emotional level, those endorphins which are released by the brain. It makes you to have a good day, after all, one of your best ones, as you benefit yourself, as well as the one to whom you've given the gift. Indeed, standard advice for those who are sad at this time of the year, you know, the seasonal affective disorder, SAD, or just plain old depressed and self-occupied. Go out of yourself. Concentrate on making someone else happy. Give. Forget your own sadness, and give your way to gladness. You can't drink and you can't smoke and you can't buy or indulge your way to happiness. But with giving, it works. Luther, of all people, Luther is supposed to have said, the proof that God loves us and wants us to be happy is that he gives us beer. Now, I know some Catholics, strong Catholics, who would nevertheless quite agree with the heresiarch from Wittenberg. But the truth of the matter is that God does love us, quite independent of the six-pack. And he wants us to be happy. And it's all connected with giving. And not just getting. That's the point. These things are so true that God in his goodness, God who wants us to rejoice semper now and in sempiterna saecula, unto everlasting ages in heaven, he systematizes for us, for your convenience, this matter of giving, even as he imposes the obligation upon you each week of giving for the support of your church. He does this not to impose a burden. They say the other key word in the introit is nihil, as the Australians say, no worries, be nothing solicitous. Our Lord doesn't do this to make it harder for you to make ends meet during the rest of the week, nor even to deprive us of all of the money we love to waste all week long, and all of those visits to the convenience store in food discarded, fast food consumed, lottery tickets, they add up, and those elaborate concoctions at Starbucks. No, God does this in order to let you get in on the blessing, financial, spiritual, and emotional, to enable you to share in the sublime joy which comes from sharing your resources with others. At Christmas, yes, but every week in your Christian life. Christmas Christian giving is not a once-a-year gift blitz to children who already have too much and still want more, but a reasoned, regular set-aside for God. For God who never has enough for his work on earth, which is, if you think of it, essentially gift-giving. What dost thou ask of the Church of God? And the baby answers to the godparents, faith, the gift of faith, forgiveness, spiritual food for the journey, healing for body and soul, and the best gift of gifts to give God's Son to the Father in adoration at the sacrifice of the Mass. He never has enough, you know, this child, the little one born at Bethlehem, because he depends upon our generosity. Thus is he hungry and cold in the least of his brethren. But back to rejoicing, this always, this semper, comes and is assured by systematizing your giving. In other words, not to give by whim or by caprice from time to time if there's nothing else pressing, but to give by obligation and to give first and to give always. We are obliged to do this, first of all, by the natural law in justice to support those who serve us. The natural law, which is so offended against today, I need not go into detail in these matters which offend modesty and the whole question of matrimony. Don't you be one of those who break the natural law. Next, the divine law Our Lord himself in the Old and in the New Testament by his word obliges us. The laborer, St. Matthew writes, is worthy of his hire. And St. Paul adds that those who live, who serve the altar, ought to live by the altar. Those who preach the gospel should live by the gospel. And thirdly, do you remember the six precepts of the church? You learned them as a child, catechism. The fifth of these is to contribute to the support of the church. This obligation is grave. It binds under pain of mortal sin. He who refuses to contribute to the church he attends steals from God. Why on earth would you go to the trouble to go to church and then commit a sin each Sunday while you're at it? This obligation, then, is not some extra optional, but it binds in conscience. Last of all, a few questions. Well, then, how much? Protestants who know their Bible pay the scriptural tithe, 10%. And that's how, even though sometimes they are very few, they accomplish so very much. They are generous with God. Catholics, well, we don't know our Bible. And we do have a reputation for being kind of cheap. So the church gives us a 50% discount, slashes it right off the bat, and is satisfied with the 5%. Father Cicada says, I should say, that this is 5% gross, which is before taxes, and not necessarily what you declare for your taxes. How should we give? We use the envelopes that we would like to give to you. If you don't see your name in the vestibule, if you don't have a set, please let us know, and we'll get you one for next Sunday. Use the envelopes. Do the math. You remember the percentages. You could figure that out. And give at least that basic minimum. And if you can't do that, do something. And if you miss a given Sunday, it's not a free day. Send your envelope in. The offering envelope is set up as an envelope. Put a stamp on it and put it in the mail. Last Sunday, our collection was very good despite the weather, because some give an offering once a month on the first Sunday, and others, seeing that they will be out of town, give in advance. And may God reward them. But for most of us, what works, I think, is setting aside the weekly giving. Who's obliged to give? Well, parishioners, of course. It's your responsibility. Don't leave that duty to another. Who's obliged to give? Even young adults, once you're up and out and you've got a job, and even though you've got the car and you've got bills and welcome to the real world and you've got tuition and the rest of it, set aside something each Sunday and give. Give to get in on the joy, to rejoice in that Jesus who came only to give. It's one of those little secrets of life you won't regret learning young. Who should give? Why, even visitors. We welcome each Sunday those who are virtual members of our congregation, and as they have no church of their own, we invite them to support our church, which provides the beautiful Holy Mass for them on the webcast each Sunday. But to give not only using the PayPal and virtually on the screen, but to give actually. Those who actually are here, they may not be members or parishioners, but they're visitors. And it is an edifying thing to see many Catholics who come even to St. Gertrude's rather than miss Mass, even though they risk the wrath of their leaders in so doing. But visitors, like church members, you are using our services, and perhaps rather regularly. You're welcome. We want you to make yourself at home, but do your part in justice and in joy each Sunday you visit. Ours is obviously a big plant, and there is the usual litany of light and heat and roof and parking lot, and candles and flowers, and priests to be fed and cars to be gassed up and the rest of it. So don't be a deadbeat. Not even as a visitor. Certainly not as part of the family. Aren't you ashamed, some of you, to let the basket pass by Sunday after Sunday and to put nothing in it? Nothing? Nihil? That's not what St. Paul had in mind. What do you think you will receive in return, you old Grinch? And Scrooge, what are you waiting for? The ghost of Christmas future? Believe me, you don't want to. You've got the Holy Ghost right now, and he is inspiring you to sacrificial and regular giving. At least a little, or at least out of human respect. I'd feel terribly embarrassed. I'm glad I'm a bishop and not an usher, because I'd be awfully embarrassed to have to pass the basket to some people each Sunday, and nothing ever comes out and goes into the basket. Take pity on the usher or on yourself. My friends, this is a prison. You can leave whenever you want to. You've got the key. This is a sin you don't need on your soul. Just do something, something, each Sunday. Semper, with an eye towards the always rejoicing of heaven. God bless.